Father, I thank you so much for, again, the honor and privilege, the graciousness of Cornerstones extending continuously the opportunity for Linda and I to be a part. We're honored by it. This morning, Lord, do something in all of us. Let the revelation of Jesus Christ be to us all. The revelation of the kingdom of God that has no limitations to it. It is a kingdom consuming all kingdoms. It is a kingdom that cannot be removed. It is freely ours. And this is a day that you long to demonstrate its majesty, its power, its glory. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven simultaneously in the earth. Father, let there be a renewed passion in us for you. Father, I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Beginning, the first thing I love this about, it's the third day. The number three is always the number for the sovereignty of God. Something sovereign is going to take place here. The sovereignty of God is easily explained at the very early part of the Genesis. It's him declaring what he says is. This everything about everything we see is because he upholds it by the word of his power. The sovereignty of God, nobody challenges, nobody changes. It's something that he declares. Something sovereign is about to take place here. The second thing I love is it's a wedding. Man, I love weddings, and I still love doing them. It's, you know, even your most miserable family members kind of happy at a wedding. I mean, it's just that kind of thing. It's just, it's a wedding ceremony. It's a celebration. We long for it. Isn't it beautiful? You and I know there'll be one day there'll be a marriage celebration in heavens, but we're still in this marriage celebration now. The day I came into the kingdom, he immediately adored me, loved me. I fell in love with him the first day, and I love him more than ever. We have a love affair. I mean, it makes Linda's our love greater, but this is much greater. And so here you and I are part of a marriage celebration in a day like this of almost zero hopelessness for some people. We're not sure what's going on. There's still that kind of thing we got going. At least I have, and on Monday morning, I just can't help but go, ba-boom. Boom, boom. It's a marriage. It's a wonderful thing. But they have a problem at this marriage. You see, in this culture, wine was a precedent. It isn't so much like our culture. It wasn't a drunken state. In many marriages now, we don't really have wine or alcohol just because of things that happen with it. But in this culture, you had to have wine. I mean, it was unacceptable. You would never do that. It was part of the celebration. Israel was known for its wine. During the days of David and Solomon, the nations would trade timber and precious metals for the wine that they would have. And so it's an amazing thing. And for there to be no wine, the entire celebration would have come to a halt. Everybody would be looking at each other, especially the governor of the feast, who's a hired man. It would be like the most unbelievable moment. Everybody would start to grumble and wonder why they were here. I want to say this to you and I this morning. We're longing to invite our family to this wedding celebration that we have. We're wanting our kids and our grandkids, our nieces and nephews to be a part of it. I certainly do, and I know you do. I'm wanting my neighbors, I'm wanting our nation from every place, every corner to experience this thing that you and I have with this Jesus, this person, this Godhead. We want them, but there's something that we're missing. Just like this wedding, we have no wine. If you don't mind, when we're talking about spiritual stuff and spirit, water is a type of spirit. When we talk about water and rivers, it's symbolic of spirit. But water refreshes. And I love the time with the Spirit of God. I'm refreshed, but wine's intoxicating. I mean, when you drink wine, you get, even like I said, the most miserable starts to crack a smile. Yeah, my life stinks, but I'm actually happy today. I don't know why that is. It's intoxicating, not a drunken state. Like Peter made it sure, even when they said to him, you're drunk, he says, no, man, we're under the influence in a way we've never been before. It has this influence. John will say in the Revelation that on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. He is saying I was influenced by the Spirit. That level of it, I understand that intoxication where I see better, I think better, I know better, I'm better by it. The third thing or the fourth thing in our story is Mary. I absolutely love Mary. She's amazing to me. Mary, for our moment, is the watchman. The prophet Isaiah will say that he'll always sit watching upon thy walls, and they'll let one cry, not to the people, but to the Lord, that he would reestablish, that he would rebuild, he would cause us to be a great light again. They're here in this place. They're in every city. They're men and women that we don't even know of, but there's something about the watchmen. They know what we need. They know when something's missing. Nobody tells Mary. I often wonder, how does she know? She was a guest. How did she know there was no wine? There was a sense of the watchman that we're desperately in need of something for this to continue. And she turns to the only person who can answer it, to Jesus. I want you to know right now, we have a great hope for a dimension of spirit that we've never known, because this one we know is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who ascended for you and I, opened up a way into the heavens. There's nobody more desiring, more longing, more passionate about bringing a wine that we've never had before. A dimension of spirit that we can only dream about. I love his words. You heard him. The next in our story, probably the fifth or sixth, it doesn't matter. The next part in our story is these servants. I love these. We don't know if they're young men or young women. So typical of servants in our Bible, just like armor bearers. No name. We don't know where they're from. We don't even know the number. So there's no describing them. But that's really what a servant is. The servant is not somebody who has to be seen, has to be known, has to have a name. They're just there to serve. They are probably hired. Maybe they had a debt that they had to come and do it. We don't really know what they're doing there. But I love what Mary says to him. Whatsoever he says, do it. That's a servant's heart. I believe we have them here. So the servants are, it's really a dumb thing. Because there's already water. It's only ceremonial. So if you came into this wedding, you came through the door, these pots would be there before you could enter into the ceremonial section. And you'd have to come and ceremonially wash, because these six stone pots said you were dirty, you were unclean. And after the Jews, you had to do the ceremony purifying. They were half full, three quarters full. Just had water in them. There were six of them. He says to them, fill them up. I can only imagine it would, if I was the servant, I'd be like, did you hear these fill? I mean, what does it matter if they're half full, three quarters full? So they just obeyed, probably went over like I would. I don't know if they had a hose or pots. I don't know how long it took. Fill them. All of a sudden, they stand around. The aroma changes. It's wine. What happened? I don't know. Well, you know what he said? He said, we're supposed to bring some of this over to the governor of the feast. I'll do it. No, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. We'll all do it. So you can imagine. You know, I mean, servants doesn't mean you can't have a little bit of a step. Just because you're a servant doesn't mean you can't, you know. So I should have, it probably was a small clay pot. They kind of dipped it in there. Looked over at the governor. Because they knew what happened. Put water to wine, y'all. Miracle. The governor probably looked over and thought, what's with you guys? Get to work. Governor took it off. Because, you know, you could buy wine in a can now. I don't know if California does that, but. So he's looking at this thing, and because you heard what he said to the bridegroom. He said, listen, I know men. You put out the good wine, hour or two later, everybody's drinking the wine. You bring out the can, the box, the junk. He's thinking, where'd you buy this? Safeway? Kroger? At the gas pump? Are they selling it there now? That's what he's thinking. So he just almost reluctantly. Probably had a tie on. I know what they're for now. Calls the bridegroom over, goes, I can't believe this. Girl says, what are you talking about? Man, listen. You see, something about men, they do the best in the beginning, then it just gets worse, but you've not done this. You've kept the best till now. I want to say something about these clay pots for a moment. You see, I love, there's six of them. It's the number for men. It speaks of us. Paul will say, listen, we're just earthen vessels. That's what we are. I could put a shirt on it. I could shave mine. I could grow hair. You could tattoo it. You could put all these numbers on. We're all earthen vessels. But there's something in it. It's in the vessel. That's where the excellency of the power is. It is this Christ person that's in there. Something happens when it's full. Noah's flood revealed something to us. Three ways water comes into the earth. Three ways we get it. One is rain. I love when we're together and there's refreshing times with the Lord. The book of Acts will talk about that. Every time you and I make a decision toward God, times of refreshing come. And I just find myself, if I'm walking with him, I get refreshed on a day like today. Even when I first started going to church, when Linda and I, the first church we went to, man, Sunday morning, we just kind of come out and go to lunch and just talk Jesus. But by Tuesday, I was the same person again. I don't know what happened. Sunday, I'm sainthood, Jay. Whoa, angels are singing. By Tuesday, I'm agitated, aggravated, got an attitude. I'm like, what happened? 2 days later? I didn't realize, you see, the Lord was pouring us out. So I was full on Sunday, but by Tuesday I had been poured out. He'll say it like this. He says, listen, Malachi will say it this way. I'll open up you, the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that cannot be contained. I didn't realize out of our lives, all differently, but the Lord's opening us up. I'm not a door. We're not a wall. We're a window. You can look in here and find someone. You can look in here and see something. It's clear. It's supposed to be clear. Not shadowed, not darkened. It's a window. And that's who we are. Isn't it nice this morning? All he's doing really is opening Jay LaRue up and pouring Jay LaRue out. That's it. And when I was in the hallway out there, so I saw Sarah five times already this morning. Every time I walk out the door, Sarah's there. I said, are you in every part of the building? She goes, are you in every part of the building? I guess we are. And so she just said some encouraging things to me. But the Lord opened her up as he did with Pastor Sean and poured out. That's one way. We're pouring out a blessing to each other, to everybody that meets us, no matter where it is. That's why it's so important. Every time we wave or say something to somebody or serve somebody, the Lord's opening us up and we're pouring out a blessing that cannot be contained. So I love that. But there was a third water. It was the fountain of the great deep. It was the underground water. It's the water that everybody searches for. It's the purest of waters. We don't even know where it comes from, really. But there is a river that flows from the throne that is invisible, unseen. In that river is the Lamb, and the throne is in it. I want to say to you, I appreciate all the refreshing times. We're in church 200 times a year, maybe more than that. I love the times that we're refreshed. I love when people are in my lives and they encourage me or text or just say, Jay, you're a blessing. And the Lord opens up and they just pour a blessing on me and I'm blessed. But I've got to tell you, I can't live on just that alone. I've got to have the fountain of the great deep. I've got to have intimacy, and I've got to be able to see him and drink from him. But you know what happens? See, I didn't know. I just thought it was time in church. I just thought it was time with him. No, no, no. When Jay LaRue is full of spirit, something miraculously changes. It's just not water. It's wine. And now what happens is we become a people that's intoxicating. We become a people of influence. We become a people that people want to be around, want to see, want the taste of it. Our nieces and nephews don't really know what's going on, but they always want us at all their gatherings. They won't do a party or 2 years ahead. Uncle Jay, can you be at the wedding? Well, when is it? Well, I'm not there. Oh, I'm moving the wedding. We got to have you. They think it's because we're fun. Well, maybe we are. And I kind of, I do the wedding thing. I do all the whatever it is there. I don't know what that all is. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll get up there with Linda, dance a bit. Yeah. But it's not that. It's something intoxicating. It's a clay vessel. It's a pot like yours. But it's what's in us that is the key. I have a lot of my friends, colleagues, theologians, they've always said to me, Jay, the early church, boy, what a moment. I'll say, yeah, what a moment. Imagine one day, 3,000 saved. 2 years later, 5,000 in one day. By Acts chapter 6, which you just finished, probably 10 to 12,000. 1,000 people have become believers. By Acts 6, we're going to have these, a new person called the disciple. It's an amazing moment. They're revolutionizing the world. It's a result of that outpouring. And they'll say to me, Dr. J, then I get nervous and they start that. Dr. J, I have a question. Okay. Don't you think that was the greatest day the church has ever seen? I agree. Don't you think we should go back to that day? Don't you think we should go back there? And I say, I disagree. What do you mean? It was the best day, this is the best time in the history of the church. It was probably the greatest moment. I said, I agree with that. I said, but do you remember what the governor of the feast said? He said, men, put out the best. And then hour after hour, or generation after generation, they bring the worst. And it just gets worse. The longer it gets, the worse it gets. That's what men do. But that's not what he did. That's not what God did. I want you to know, Acts chapter 2 was the beginning, not the end. It was the initiation of it all. It was the start of it all. That was to be something that in every generation, from that generation forward, every generation, the wine was to be better and better and better and greater and greater and greater. And the greatest should be now. But we have a problem. No wine. A lot of water. I love Peter's words. He says, after that, he'll pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. What a dream for a father and a mother. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not there yet. I can't wait. Maybe when I'm 80, I don't know. And your young men will see visions. I'm there. Well, I've got some dreams, but I haven't gotten there yet. What a moment here. But it's the context. Joel will start his prophecy. He'll say, listen, bring out all the married couples. Yeah, you got to come on. Come on. It's desperate. Even the women that have babies, bring them out, everybody come out. I want the priesthood. There's something about a priesthood that the spirit of the age fears. And I'm looking at a priesthood, not after Aaron, not after Levi, but after the Melchizedek, a priesthood that Jesus Christ himself initiated and was the firstborn to it. It is who we are, not just here in Cornerstone, around the world. It's who we are. It's a priesthood. And he says, get the priests. Have them stand between the porch and the altar. It's a place in Solomon's temple. They knew. This is their cry. Let them say, spare thy people, O God. Give not thine heritage to reproach. Let not the heathen rule over us. For they say, where is your God? And then, I will pity my people and I'll heal the land. I'll send for the wheat, the wine, and the oil. I'll fill your vats and your silos. I'll restore all the years. Even the wild beasts will rejoice. I will do things in your day that no one will believe. And after that, I'll pour out my spirit. Could there be a day, could this be the day that a priesthood would awaken in the earth, called after his name, his people? And would there be a new cry in our hearts? Oh, yeah, I love the refreshing times, man. I dig church. Come to church. You got church. Church is part. Church is my sustenance. Church is my workout, baby. Church is my, I'm loving it. I got the word of God, what it does in my life, the worship, the sharing. Oh, yeah, I got to have that. Oh, I love when the windows are open and I'm being poured out or you're pouring out on me. I love it. A blessing that I can't even contain. Oh, I love drinking from the fountain of the great deep. I love it. I love when the vessels are full and there's a miracle. But we're a desperate need for a manifestation of his glory in an unprecedented dimension, an outpouring of the Spirit like never before. Can we dream a little bit? 3,000 in one day born again, 5,000, 25,000 in 12 years. Can we dream of something greater than that? Can we dare to believe for something unprecedented? I want you to know, I'm all in. We're recording, so we're going to make this switch. Your husband, okay? They did it already, right? Okay. There's been many times I've stepped in this room, you know. I've come up on the property many times. And it was amazing because I stood here this morning. I've never seen such an open heaven. Part of it, I spoke to that lady that was in the second row there, whoever she was. You have to know how significant that is, because the Lord's ear is open to the righteous and his face is turned from them that do evil. We know that. So he hears our prayers. We understand that. But when there's this dimension of open heaven, this dimension of enlargement, this open place, the enemy fears this. But the Lord has heard the cry. My brother, you're going to see God respond to it. And already there's a coming new dimension of his abiding. I'm not even going to say his presence, because that's something we look for. Presence is beautiful. I like it. But we want his face. That was David's cry. That we don't want your hand. We want to behold your face. And this is a new dimension of his abiding here. Him literally being here in a dimension we've never seen here before, never known. He's always been faithful here. That's one of the things we know for sure. Even by the statue out there, we know the Lord has been faithful to bring the healing, to bring the things that are necessary, the sustaining of the building of that, the sustaining of the people, the longevity of the folks here, the blessing of God upon every family in this house and their children, despite what the children may do or may say, the blessings on the children. It's amazing. It's been the heritage of this house. But the cry has been, even from the first pastor that I knew before you, was a cry for the supernatural, for God to do something. We didn't really know what to say. We didn't even know what to ask for. I always thought that I had to be specific in prayer. And prayer is good, and I think specific prayer is good. My life is certainly ordered, but there's times that he just answers what we haven't asked for. He just is going to do what he knows to do. Nobody asked him to create or recreate. Nobody did that. No one had a cry back then, but he just does things because he knows the inner parts of my cry that I can't even utter. And my brother, you begin to see the Lord do this. And he's really, it's interesting though, because usually I'll see a sickle like this, but the Lord has got the sickling is going around the building just like this. And I want you to know a couple things which I think is pretty interesting about it, is primarily silver. And that's, as you know, is redemption, restoration, all the R words, recovery, revival, refreshing, a restoration, a redemption, all the R things, but it's lined with gold. And so this cutting edge of it is this gold, this gold up and down like this, because the Lord is going to, and has always been your cry, and the cry here was that the divineness of God would be known here, and that we would have a sense of who he is. I love that. I appreciate all the redemption, but I've got to have the divinity. I've got to have them. I've got to have them. Not so much their work. I've got to have them. And so that'll be the cutting edge. So every time there's a sickling, there's going to be a mark on those who come in this door. They're going to want to know him. It's beautiful. I'm loving this. This is good. I like this. I can do that. I can step out and step back. No. But the handle is beautiful. You've got to hear this, especially for this eldership and for this people. The handle is freshly laid leather on it. Whether it's leather or not, it's not the issue, but it's fresh. In other words, the Lord isn't going to sickle in ways he has done it before. So there has to be a willingness. And man, my brother, you and your wife and this group, the Lord has established so that you don't necessarily need a formula for this. You don't necessarily need, well, it didn't happen like this before. I don't know if we've done it this way, but there's a willingness here to adapt. Very much a wineskin, even though we have a building and a structure, very much a wineskin where the Lord can, he can move it. It's flexible. Where a building isn't flexible, we have a tabernacle because it was flexible. A building is unmovable. This is our limitations. This is our height. This is our length. Not here. The Lord has allowed that. It's been beautiful. But you're going to see it though. So the hand, and the Lord's going to just sickle. So it's not just going to be for the church if it was here, but you're going to see the Lord sickling all the communities around, so the churches that are in other places will partake of it. Amazing. I've never seen it like this before, and I've seen many this way, and in different colors, different shapes, different handles, all of that. But you're going to see the Lord begin to sickle and sickle and sickle. Prepare. I like the children's thing we're doing there, but you better get ready. I know you're going to go to two services, but just get ready to make some changes that maybe you weren't ready for. We didn't think about that. We weren't prepared for that, because you're going to have to put, you know, because the people are going to come. And the level of healing, I don't think you have healing rooms here. You don't necessarily need that, though. But it's going to be, you're going to just find a release of the supernatural will be carried out to the parking lots, carried out, I'm going to talk more about that with your staff, carried out to the schools. And you're just going to see, from the youngest to the oldest, the sense of God's healing. And it'll be this immediate thing. At Kroger's, it'll happen. And it won't be no, it'll just be clay pots. Nobody's big name. But, you know, if you want to say you're from Cornerstone, fine. But it's not about that. It's about what the Lord's going to do. Even though he'll bless and he'll do this. And so the Lord will begin to strengthen you, even the weariness, the tiredness. It's almost like when you run the last part of a mile race or the last leg of a race, it just feels like everything's heavy, everything's weighty. I can't even feel my legs. But the Lord is going to come and refresh you in this moment of time where it just feels as though you're bearing a heavy burden, bearing a real weight. And you're just feeling that, you know, when you get home, you sit in the chair and Sarah brings you something cold to drink. You're just exhausted every night of the week. And you haven't been able to find a place of rest, a place of restoration. And you know, and you've been feeling it in your back, a bit in your hips and your legs. But the Lord is going to really refresh and strengthen you. So you have to know that the Lord is going to begin to cause there to be, it's an interesting refreshing, but differently though. And even the things you said earlier to me, but you're going to see the Lord begin to open up a fountain for you in another way of drinking. You've never been dissatisfied with the Lord, but there's been a fresh thirst for him in a greater way. You're thinking, well, maybe I need college. Maybe I need more education. Maybe I need to go hide somewhere. Maybe I need to go get a, it's none of those things. Vacation's great. Hiding's good. Fasting is great in prayer, but it's just not those things. The Lord himself will open up a fountain for you and cause you to drink of a dimension of him that you've not tasted of before. And what that does is it causes me to see like I've never seen before. The psalmist will say, listen, taste and see. And of course, I immediately want to drink some more. And the Lord's going to begin to pick that up because you're excellent in the scriptures, but the Lord is going to turn that diamond and cause the light to come out in a different dimension for you to see it a different way. And he's going to cause it to enlarge because he really wants to add a prophetic edge, not a sharp, not the, sometimes if you think it's prophetic, that means it has this blade action. No, no, no. But the pure, incredible precision sharing of the scriptures has always been your heart. Everything about you is that way. And so you're going to see the Lord begin out of this fountain, cause there to be another dimension of the Word of God and the Spirit of God blending together. And you're going to begin to see it in a different way. And when you declare it, even in the ones that you're mentoring, it's just going to be an incredible way to hear it all. But the Lord's going to really enlarge the gospel of the kingdom in your life and the gospel of the kingdom in your mouth. And you're going to have, even with our blending a little bit, there's just going to be this prophetic security that you will have to be assured this is the Lord. Because I certainly have to know what I'm saying. There can't be no question about it. Can't be. I just wouldn't be, because it's got to be. And so it's that way. It doesn't make me arrogant or cocky. I still live face down that he's willing to do this, though, for there can be no question. And so in it, you're just the uncertainty, and the Lord's in this is just going to give a better taste of it, a better sensory system to it. Hearing, eyes, mouth, where at one time it would only be one way. You'd feel it. Well, I'm feeling like this is going to come in a greater expression. Do you want to add to that at all? Sure. Yeah. My sister here, the Lord is really going to enlarge your sphere of influence, enlarge the people group that you're a part of, that you share with, going to cause you to see. Just pull that down. I just want to see your face. You too, if you would, just in a moment, if you don't mind. I know I'm right at that mark, Pastor. Are you okay? Okay. He's going to enlarge the influence and give you in the way, because the pastoral heart is there, my sister. Incredible. Born Ruth. From the very beginning, that spirit within you, but you also got, which I love, you got that Deborah thing going on there, girl. It is just, oh yeah, even the men, they're careful to do what you say. I like that, yeah. And they'd prefer to go to war with you than without you, that whole thing. But really it's the Esther thing that's always been in your heart. And a lot of men, a lot of leaders have not been able to understand you, though, because of your sensitivity to it. And this man, these people here have embraced you where others would reject you because of that blend of those three women. And so the Lord will refine them, and you'll never have to worry that you've got to work for acceptance, have demand for acceptance, blow your own horn. He has the trumpet. Let him blow it. He does it much better. I had to learn, because sometimes I take that back. Well, you're not hearing me. And I just thought, you know what? I can't do that. If he doesn't trumpet for me, then there's no trumpet. And so you're just going to see the Lord do that financially. The Lord's going to open up and give you a little rest there and stretch things out, though, so that you can have everything you want and things that you dream for, certain vacations, being able to visit your family who's in another world, another country, another place, so you'll be able to do that. My brother, I just got to make this quick, though, because we're at our time. Dude, you know, the pastoral heart is so there. You're born to mentor the younger generation. You're born to be a man who pours into the generation below you, even though you're good with all the generations. That's the pastoral heart you have. But the hand of the Lord is upon you to be a man who pours into the young people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian. There's no limitation to the group of people. Don't limit yourself. You may be working with one sect, one group, that's fine, but you're not built for just one people. And the Lord wants to pour you out into these other groups. And so you're going to find the Lord bring a fresh discipline to your life because he wants to start meeting with you in ways that he hadn't met with you before. He wants to ensure the word of God within your heart and spirit because you're born to speak. This is your wife. This is your, yeah, that's your wife. You're the daughter. Just pull that down for a second. Sorry. Yeah, wow. That's your husband? Wow, he's stud. I didn't want to say it. I think, really? No wonder you're so happy and smiling and everything. You understand the whole wedding thing. I shouldn't be saying this, but it's good anyways. You know that. Hey, da, da, da. Plus, you guys have that. I can't do anything like that. It's a dream of mine to, I don't know, rumble. I don't know what you call it. Yeah. Anyways, it is there, though, and so the pastoral heart, the pastoral ministry, the pouring into another generation is what the Lord wants. And so he wants to enrich the word of God within you. Actually, blending with you would be the perfect thing if you ever have time to be with them because he's so systematic and in line where you're all over the place, and she's got this building ability she has. For a woman, both of them are like that. She's really like that. And just to blend them within you because the Lord just wants to enlarge who you are. And my young sister, listen, the vocals are incredible. The Lord's put such a voice in you, it has this grace upon grace. You open up your mouth, it's absolutely gorgeous, beautiful. I know it's hard to stay away from all the other music, and some of it's beautiful stuff, but the gospel sound of the kingdom that's always released to a generation in the heavenlies, so you don't know about these things now, but the Lord's already set a time that you'll hear it, and that the writing, and you're beautiful at writing, you're beautiful at poetry, you have that real ability, it's all there. And so eventually it'll be for writing music, understanding music. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your career, you got to deal with all that, but at this time, this is a day for your voice to be open, clear. Let them train you. Don't be afraid about making mistakes. It's all part of life, but it's there, young lady. The grace of God is upon you to be a psalmist, to be a vocal for the heart of God, revealing the heart of God, revealing the many people never know the internal part of him, the compassion that he has. Many only know it. They receive it, but they never know it. You will understand it. And in the vocals, there'll be this expression of this compassionate, loving God who everybody will hear you and be like, oh, they just want to fall down, just receive from him. I'm from now, 20 years ahead, all of it at that time. And so they'll work out the decisions for you. College has to be a necessity, though.